went to the temple, and it says, as he came to the Sabbath, the synagogue, he was handed a scroll, and he opened the scroll to Isaiah 61. And it says, Jesus stood up and he read, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has, listen, he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Hallelujah. Then it says he rolled up the scroll. He sat down. He said, today, this has been fulfilled.
Amen.
Now, I love how matter-of-fact Jesus is about that. Today, I am the answer. I am the anointed one. So Jesus declares himself as the anointed one. Jesus warned us in the scripture that there would be many who come and say they are the anointed. Many false messiahs, many false prophets that would come. In fact, the last few books of the Bible all give warning of deceivers. And then we come to Revelation. And it says something fascinating. Revelation 11:15. The kingdoms of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. You see, there is only one who is the Lord's Christ.
Amen.
It's not those other guys. It's not the deceivers. There is only one who is the Lord's Christ. And he is the one who is anointed. And he is completely and fully capable, because he is anointed, in dealing with all of our mess and all of our junk and making a way for intimacy with the Father and removing all of the obstacles that get in the way of this relationship. And he alone is anointed. Guilt, the wounds, the pain, the things that are nasty in us that make us feel like we can't come to the Father, that we can't approach God in prayer. If we're all real about it, that affects each one of us on some level. Oh, who am I? But we have an anointed Christ. Because so often we think, how can I approach God? The types of people that Jesus, the anointed Christ,
came for. In fact, I want to read right now in the whole messianic passage from Isaiah 61, because it goes on to further explain the anointing of Jesus. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, tells us of the audience of Jesus' ministry. It tells us about the people Jesus came for. Now listen to this. He came for the poor and the afflicted. That's those who are spiritually destitute, those who are spiritually bankrupt. That's every one of us before we came to salvation, in case you didn't know. It says he came for the brokenhearted, those who are internally destroyed, emotionally wrecked. It says he came for the captives, those who are in bondage to sin, and the prisoners, those who are in bondage to Satan. You see, these are all messed up people. They're all messed up people. They're not people who look their best. They're not pretty religious people. See, the problem with so many of our churches today is that the people that Jesus came for are scared to go to our churches. And the people who Jesus had the hardest time getting along with are filling our pews. The religious people. In case you didn't know, let me just be really clear. You and I fit into these categories. You see, if these are the types of people Jesus came for, you and I ought to feel right at home, bringing him all of our junk, all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our ugliness, brokenness, captivity. He is the anointed Christ. He is sovereign. He is Savior. And he is anointed. And he has made a way to us, for us to approach God in prayer. In Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, we see of the activity of Jesus' ministry. In other words, what he came to do. What he came to do. It says that he came to preach, to announce good news. Hello. We got a lot of bad news going on. Jesus came to bring good news. Some of you are listening to way too much news. And it's not the right news. It's not the good news. Turn off the TV. Shut down Facebook. Turn off Twitter. And good news. Oh, it drives me bonkers. The amount of people that live their life reading Facebook feeds and listening to CNN and Fox and all the other junk. It's just one bunch of bad news after the other. Fake news. I'm not even touching that. Help us, Lord. He came to bring good news. It says he came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to bind up. You see, he'll heal your life if you give him all the pieces. The broken. You see, this deals with all areas of brokenness. Broken relationships, broken marriages, even broken dreams. Am I talking to anybody in here? He is the great healer of our lives. The only one who can put things back into perfect order. He restores us from the inside out. But you have to give him the broken pieces. And then it says he came to proclaim freedom to the captives. Now, captive here is the word for domestic prisoner. So in other words, this is those who are in captivity to sin. You see, there's two great enemies of our life, sin and Satan. This deals with sin, the things that we are held captive by, the pride, the lust, the things that have rooted themselves in us. It's a domestic prisoner. So it'd be like if I broke the laws of the land here, if I went 30 miles over the speed limit in a school zone, I am going to go to jail. It is reckless endangerment. I have broken the laws of the land. I will become a domestic prisoner, held captive. Because I've broken the laws of the land. It's the same thing with sin. When we break the law, God's laws, we become a domestic prisoner. We become a captive. And Jesus, the anointed Christ, has made a way out. He still does set captives free. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And then he came to set the prisoners free. Those are people who are in bondage to Satan. Those who are living in demonic bondage, oppression. Now, this is part of the Lord's Prayer pattern we see. I mentioned this last night. Deliver us. Hello, us. Not that guy that looks weird. That guy looks like he needs a lot of deliverance. No, all of us. And Jesus came to set the prisoners free from darkness. This would be like a prisoner of war. If you and I, if we went to battle, and we were at war with another country, and we were taken prisoner by that country, that foreign enemy, that is a domestic, that is a prisoner of darkness, someone who is captive to Satan. And Jesus came to make a way out from demonic strongholds. You see, we all have these strongholds in our lives, these thought patterns that sound logical but are not biblical. You see, when Satan attacks, he starts here, and then it infects here. Okay? The thought patterns that sound logical but are not biblical. The things that we've lived in captivity and prisoner become a prisoner to. We heard a parent say, "You're so stupid." And we begin to live and act like we're stupid. "You'll never measure up." And we begin to live and act like we'll never measure up, because the enemy takes those lies and he begins to root them deep in our minds, if we'll let him, and create a prisoner, a stronghold. And Jesus, the anointed Christ, has come to fling open the prison doors. Can I get a witness? You don't have to hide from God. You see, what happens so often is we revert back to Adam and Eve. We become captive to sin. We open the door to Satan. We begin to allow strongholds to come, and we begin to pull back from God when we should advance toward God. We become like Adam and Eve, and we begin to hide. Oh, if he only knew what I did. Oh, he wouldn't want to be around me. Buddy, he already knows. And so we begin to hide and play this game with God, hide and seek with God. And there's only one person that wins at hide and seek with God, and it's not you. The anointed Christ came to take us out of hiding. You don't have to hide. He came to reconnect us to intimacy with the Father. You see, this is a whole level of the Christian experience that's foreign to so many of us, because we tend to just go through the motions and hide all of the mess, all of the junk from the Father. He is a redeemer. And then Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 tells of the impact of Jesus' ministry. It tells of what Jesus accomplished, right? It says that he gave beauty instead of ashes. Hallelujah. He gave gladness instead of mourning. Some translations say the oil of gladness, the oil of joy. And Jesus gives oil because he's the anointed Christ. He gives a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This deals with our emotions, right? He brings emotional healing. You see, so often we kind of distance ourselves from this thing called soul care, emotional healing, and we believe God will heal the body, but just as much as he wants to heal the body, he wants to heal the soul. He wants to heal the damaged emotions. It says that we are turned into oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, so that he might be glorified. All of this happens. The anointed Christ comes so that he will get his glory. Everything he wants to do in you and everything he wants to do through you is so that he will get his glory. Now, if you've got a mess, you are a candidate for the anointed Christ to take your mess, to take your junk, and to make you an oak of righteousness, a planting for the Lord. You see, now on the other hand, if you think you've got it all together, if you think you don't need that Christ, I'm not sure what he can do for you. You're not mentioned in those verses. Oh, hello. If you think you've got it all together, you see, Jesus came for those who didn't need a physician. He came for those who need a physician. He didn't come for the religious, pretty people who think all together. He came for those who know they are broken and need to be put back together. He is the anointed Christ. Nothing will get in the way of a healthy prayer life like pride. And when you think, I don't need this, you are full of pride. See, Jesus wants to peel back layer after layer after layer after layer after layer and get to the core of who we are. And under his anointing, we can be made whole. This is why we just dealt over an hour with forgiveness. He wants to get to the core of who we are. He wants to take the brokenness and begin to heal it. Put it back together. We can trust the anointed Christ. I shared my story, some of it. And just even a few years ago, you see, God works as we're ready and allow him to take the brokenness, right? And this has been a journey of healing for me. As I've allowed God to take a little more and a little more and a little more, a little more, and peel back layer after layer, and allowed the anointed Christ to touch the deep parts, the broken parts, the emotional parts, even the physical parts. I told you about the kitchen I went to. And 3 years ago, I was at a healing and deliverance conference. And we were in some ministry time, and the Lord was beginning to deal with me. And he took me into this vision. And there I found myself in that kitchen again. And I was in this kitchen, and I said, Lord, why am I here? I don't want to be in this place. I hate this kitchen. Get me out of here. And there I was. I was in this kitchen, and I was sitting in this chair, the same chair I was in when the innocence of our family was ripped out. And I looked up, and I saw the anointed Christ walk through the doorway of that kitchen. And the anointed Christ came over to me, and he put his hand on my head. And in the pain that I felt so deeply in that kitchen, he began to speak life into me. And he took oil and he began to pour it on my head. And he said, this is the oil of gladness. And I am taking that mourning, and I am taking that despair, and I am turning it into joy. And then he knelt at my feet, and he began to wash my feet. The anointed Christ began to wash my feet. He said, I'm cleansing you from the things of the past and making you whole. And he stood me up. And he looked into my eyes. He said, you are my son, whom I love. And in you I am well pleased. pleased. And you are made whole. And you see, the anointed Christ entered into the pain of my past, the memory, and showed me that in that moment, I wasn't alone. It was just another layer that he was peeling back. The anointed Christ, the one who comes to heal the broken pieces, the one who comes to take the despair, the one who comes to take the mourning and turn it into dancing, the one who comes to take the ashes, right? He is the anointed Christ who comes to remove all of the obstacles that get in the way from intimacy with the Father. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is dripping with oil. As David said, my cup overflows. Now, just for a moment here, I want to give us a moment to focus on any of the areas of our lives that we have not allowed the anointed Christ to touch, or maybe there's a layer that he wants to peel back to get a little deeper, a little more at the core of who we are, and touch the broken places, the mourning, the despair, the ashes, and bring healing. You see, what you don't confess becomes a mess. What you don't reveal cannot be healed. What you don't forgive, you are bound to relive. And the anointed Christ is fully capable to deal with every part of your life. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Would you begin to show us even, I know we've dealt, you've shown us some things this morning, but if there's deeper things, if there's closets that you want to clean out, or we don't want to leave here without giving you full access to the deep parts of our lives. Holy Spirit, would you come? Anointed Christ, would you come? Would you touch the deep parts right now? The things that are hindering intimacy with the Father. Anointed Christ, would you touch the broken dreams? Would you touch the broken marriages? Would you touch the broken relationships right now? Would you touch the despair? Would you touch the discouragement? Would you touch the things that have been burned down and turned into ashes and rebuild them? Anointed Christ, would you do that right now? See him walking around this room right now, touching foreheads. Allow him just to come and minister his presence to you right now. Allow him just to come and minister his peace and his grace. His anointing. Christ, would you come? And would you remove any obstacles, any barriers in the way of a healthy prayer life? stand together. I know this may not be for everybody. But if there's something you need to bring to the anointed Christ right now, I want to encourage you to do that. I know we move into a lot of response in the College of Prayer, and there is reason for that. We step in prophetically to what God is doing. And so if the Lord is showing you something specific that He wants to touch, maybe areas of brokenness, despair, mourning, hurt, pain, beyond what we've dealt with earlier this morning. Things you've been captive to, things you've been prisoner to. I just want to encourage you right now as we worship to just bring that to the front and kneel before the anointed Christ and allow Him just to pour His anointing oil out on you for your healing, to touch you with the oil of gladness, to put on you a garment of praise. Lord, do some clothes exchanging here right now. Take off some old, put on some new. You are fully capable to do that. So as we worship, you come. To do what only He can do. That's when we become priests of the Lord, ministers to our God, and we receive a double portion. How many of you want a double portion? How many of you want an everlasting joy? I don't hear enough amens out there. Lord, we want a double portion. We want everlasting joy to be ours. We want to be priests. We want to be ministers to our God. And so we say, anointed Christ, get everything out of the way. Everything that's in the way. Remove it, Lord. Take it away. The kingdom of God is moving. The kingdom of God is not passive. The kingdom of God is those who say, I want to receive it. I want to move from despair to joy. I want to move from mourning to dancing. I want to move from shame to grace. I want to move from to freedom. I want to move from captivity to freedom. I want to move from sickness to health. I want to move from brokenness to wholeness. Come on, church. Y'all don't hear me in this place. Lunch, I'm giving you spiritual food. You don't need physical food. You need spiritual food. And the kingdom is present. The kingdom is here to nourish you, to give you a double portion. You see, the enemy has robbed us. He has tried to steal our inheritance, to name your price. He's tried to rob some of you of your joy in an effort to get you to name your price. He thinks all of you can be bought. And he's trying to take your portion. Anointed Christ is here to give you a double portion. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy to release what he has tried to take from your life. Powers of the air, demonic forces, those spirits that have come to steal, kill, and destroy, I command you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to release what you have stolen and to return it, and not to return it once, but to return it sevenfold. Because in Proverbs, the enemy must return sevenfold what he has stolen. So I say in the name of Jesus, let heaven fall. threefold release of joy be given to you. Where it has tried to be stolen from your life, where the finances of your life have tried to be robbed, let a sevenfold blessing come in return in Jesus' name. Where the enemy has destroyed relationships, let a sevenfold of healing come over those relationships now in Jesus' name. Where the enemy has come to destroy your body, let him release sevenfold a healing. Return what you have tried to take in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And turn what the enemy has tried to destroy, the seeds he has tried to crush out. And Lord, would you loose oaks of righteousness in this place for the glory of our Lord. For the glory of our Lord. Grow up oaks of righteousness in this place. Yes, Lord, right now, right now, right now, right now. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, we want a double portion. We want a double portion. You are the anointed Christ. You are the one who is fully capable of taking back what is yours and growing us into oaks of righteousness for the glory of our Lord, giving us our inheritance, returning what has been stolen and what we have given up. Let's worship with that song one more time, Pastor.
The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence, it's all around, that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere.
pouring in fresh oil to the lampstands. So, Lord, we submit ourselves once again. We center ourselves once again.